because it's not just one country we're dealing with. The ship's owners is in one country. The crew is probably from several other countries. And even have the insurance from another country. So it's all good and well to have this. What we need to do from our side, and that the department needs to ensure, is that there's time limits on all of these, so we don't sit in the drag out process because of what's going on. That is the one big concern is for my side, that we make sure that we have deadlines of time limits in place for everyone to adhere to the different steps, so that we don't sit with the situation that we sit back with.
I'll use the time for to raise the following question, the first one, and there's a trick in this question. Why is this only coming up? The second question is on the first line, where you are requesting us to recommend the tabling of the recommendation to the National Assembly. That will not happen. It will not happen. You will have to make a presentation to the Portfolio Committee responsible for transport within the National Assembly to take it through the process. We can't make recommendations on the adoption of the legislation to be any particular ones. This may be something that you specifically name for provinces. My third comment would be on the important definitions that you are using there. You're talking about an area beyond point two of the convention area. An area beyond and adjacent to the territorial sea of that state. Now, we are talking about Operation Akita. We are talking about extending the ocean economy. If you look at the strategic plan of the Department of Transport under the maritime section, which are your colleagues, I think we're talking about something like 10,000 kilometers expansion that we have. My question is, does this convention cover us for something like Operation Tisa? My third question would be related to pirates, not my favorite topic, not Orlando pirates, other pirates. We know that pirating has become a big problem in the world. Now, should it be that it is a pirate ship? Because you are talking about wars. Now, that is not a normal situation of war. Now, if a pirate ship becomes a wreck on our shores, does this convention cover that? That's why. The final question that I have relates to the trap that I raised initially, where you see the documentation that has been given to us. Now, I subsequently discovered that it has not been given to everybody, but I have it here. There was a memorandum that was written by the Department of Transport to all DDGs and EXCO members from Ms. N. Kuzwayo, who was the chief director of ODG. Now, I can't see, it was on the 21st of November 2013. 21st of November 2013 in the fourth administration. And this memorandum quotes a resolution from Cabinet, Resolution 322, resolution says the following thing. Firstly, that Cabinet approves the National International Convention and requests for it to be submitted to the Parliament, which is the NCOP and the NA. So there we are covered, that Cabinet has said that. My point is the C part of that. In the C part of that resolution, and I can give you the document to look at it again after the meeting so that you know what you're referring to, because there is a specific request that we're going to make on behalf of this select committee to you. Let me read the recommendation. The recommendation C says, approved, now this is Cabinet approved, that the Minister of Transport submits a memorandum reviewing possible policy gaps with a view to strengthening related maritime legislation. Now the point in particular that has been raised by Honorable Dikgale about how do we deal in this complex situation with the monarchy would fall in for me in this area of strengthening legislation. My question there would be, has such a memorandum already been drafted? If yes, can we have a look at it? If not, can you come back to us via the office of our secretary to update us on what is happening with that? Now, that's why I said my earlier question is a trick, because it relates to my earlier question. These things were discussed 2 years ago. The convention was processed in 2007, and I have difficulty as a member of this committee understanding what is delaying the adoption thereof. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Let's just hear from Honorable
Ntebe.
You're still going to hold your recommendation. You don't want to raise it now.
Two of them covered the chair, but I think it's fair enough for the department to come in so that probably they might clear some.
Okay, thanks. Please.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. On the first question from my honourable member about us having a stipulation, I think it would have a lot to do with us developing the regulation as when to act decisively. Because you might find that if we do not have any empowering provision at our disposal, it might be difficult to act as we want. So the next step would be to develop regulations giving time frame to say we will only allow a rest to be on our shores for the particular period. Immediately that period lapses would kick in. Secondly, on the issue of the presentation to the
portfolio committee.
We have done that already. I think it was last year, October, November, if my memory serves me well. So we have already addressed the portfolio committee, and they, all of us, we contextualized this convention. And by and large, we shared the same sentiment to say it's a convention that can take us forward. But briefly, Chairperson, on the last question.
Can I just before you proceed, say, members of the NCOP, I'm sure you would have noticed on your desk that this thing has appeared there,
yeah,
precisely because it has already been presented to the National Assembly. So I'm saying, therefore, I just wanted to make it clear, because your presentation say you're requesting us.
Mm-hmm.
You're not requesting us, it has been done.
Yeah, it has been done.
So it's in
so
our hands now.
Yes. On the last point, talking about our, we have got a Merchant Shipping Act 57 of 1951. It's an old act. One of the things we're doing is to actually.
Can I just say that it doesn't mean that if something was born in 1951, it's necessarily old.
I would ask the the difference is to hear me out on the context
of the lighter
No. I would have to listen to hear me out on the context within which I'm moving from.
Okay.
It's all the difference that it was promulgated in 1951. Now it has got loopholes. There are certain developments that is not the country legislation is not taking into cognizance. For example, there are so many conventions at IMO level that have been done in that that we simply need to localize, meaning to domesticate, to follow the due processes, our internal due processes. Because it's good to have an international convention emanating from IMO, but there are processes and procedures that we must follow internally. Amongst them is the one that we are enjoying now. Second, the Merchant-Shipping Act that we have, this is the process of, in actual fact, we have started that process of reviewing it because we have asked IMO consultants. They have since came, they have since given us a report as to how best we can improve. Now we are in the process of actually developing the act itself, and first the DGG will take it up from there. But that process is already kicked in, still in sensitive stages.
Can I just raise a question with you as a lawyer on that? Is it the development of new legislation or development of or amendments to existing legislation?
It's a question we have to deal with. There was recommendation that perhaps we amend the current legislation or perhaps we overhaul it.
Okay.
Now, after the consultants have given us a report to say, DOT, this is what we have done. These are our recommendations. We have sent read those recommendations, and then we said to take a decision to overhaul.
Maybe the honourable chair and honourable members, let me add on that. The International Maritime Organization keeps on reviewing its own international legal instruments. Then, whilst doing that, the expectations are that member states are also amended. What really happened in South Africa? For years, we've not been amending the Merchant Shipping Act. That is why we have gaps. So I want to agree with the Honourable Chair that we have the legislation in South Africa, but it is outdated, in as much as we have ratified many conventions. We are left to meet amendments.
There's still two parts of the question, the Pakisa and the pirates.
He's coming for Pakisa.
On the Pakisa side, in relation to the 200 musical minds of the political zone of the country, as it stands, our jurisdictions and within the 200 musical minds. But the country has since made applications to United Nations, and I believe that is what you are referring to. We are still waiting for the response. As soon as we are given hopefully a positive response to expand our economic exclusive zone, then that automatically will change our jurisdiction. Because currently, when we talk about projects on operation parties against within the ocean's economy, you talk about aquaculture. Aquaculture is happening within the port limit, and you've got the oil rig and mining XD that still happens within the 200 nautical miles of the country as it stands, the proposal that we came out of. Also then you've got the port infrastructure, which really is giving Transnet the responsibility to expand the ship repair facilities within the port system of the country. But as soon as the United Nations gives us the go ahead to take more than what we have currently, then automatically definitely it will change our jurisdiction as a country.
Okay.
Yes, I'll come to piracy, but before I get to piracy vessels, I want to add to what he has already said. It's coming to my mind that on the national interest and the benefits of South Africa ratifying this convention, I want to align it with Operation Patisa. If we do that, the economic part under Operation Patisa will be captured by the national vessels, like we are recommending in this convention, that we develop a strategy that is managing the salvage and wreck removal. Why I'm aligning Operation Patisa is that I have just observed that Operation Patisa is invaded by the international community now. It's becoming something that is interesting to foreign businesses. How, I don't know. So if during the course of doing this salvo, we want to say there will be a strategy within our territorial waters, whether it's businesses on salvos, because we have salvos also on Operation Patisa, both in enforcement under marine protection and also oil and gas. We have salvage there. There will be wrecks there. But the international community now is already coming in to Operation Patisa. So those are the things we need to monitor as the Department of Transport. It's just a piece of Operation Patisa. Yes. Let me just talk about piracy now, lastly. Piracy, one, it occurs in the high seas most of the time. That is why the Navy is taking the leadership and the NAC joint in Central Jordan. And also all the response capabilities of South Africa as coordinated. So all of us, the hands on are on board on piracy in a collective or in an integration. Now, these vessels, piracy vessels, are usually owned by individuals, they are owners, which means that they will fall under management by us in our territorial waters. In the case of saying, should a piracy vessel create or become a wreck in our territorial water, we need to trace that vessel via its registry. If it doesn't have a registry, let's say it belongs to Somali, just an example, to Somali, it's not registered, then we need to follow up with the government of Somalia. We cannot say it doesn't fall under piracy. I'm not sure, Honorable Member, if I'm answering. It will be captured under piracy, under this right removal, as long as it is wrecked and we have identified it. Because those people are reprimanded by the country that is closer to those ISIS. Right. If a piracy occurs next to South Africa, the South African Navy will be in charge. It should have an intervention at high sea under that convention 1959. Then they will be able to call the South African police on board now, because the Navy cannot prosecute. Then the people who are prosecuted will have to tell us who owns the wreck. And if they don't, we know from which country they come. We approach their embassy. It's a process, it's a long process. Thank you.
Yes, so just to add on what two digits you have just there has been a clear definition as to what piracy is and how it's different from armed robbery at school. We are going to London next week, and the legal committee is on the agenda of the legal committee. I'm hoping that after the legal committee meeting, we'll have a clear definition as to what strategy is and how it is different.
Thank you very much. Honourable Tebe, let's have you the last one, then we'll what's your recommendation? I hope it's going to help us to decide the way forward. Let's have the sisterly advice after he's fine with you. Please, Honourable Tebe.
From the Royal House.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
After you.
Oh, after me.
Not she. I'm happy that part of the questions that I had earlier were partly covered by you. I have also realized that the convention compels the master and the operator to report to the affected state the specifics of the wreck, and so that the affected state can be able to take measurable decision on what this needs to be done. However, more can be done in terms of the enforcement ability. It is not enough to say, in terms of the IMO requirements, certificate should be given to the ships for them. Well, how do we then enforce that? How do we then ensure that that is complied to at all material times? And I'm sure moving forward as a long-term strategy, we can be able to look into measures as to how do we then do this. There are millions, if not billions, of rands out of the illegal activities of scrap metals in the country. If we are going to have scraps that have been collected and we are going to make sure that they are not landing in wrongful hands, what is it that we are going to do as we clear the wrecks? That there's a clear process of making sure that scrap metal is not going to be problematic as it continues to be. So I'm also happy that also part of the cabinet discussion and decision was the recognition that there needs to be a policy gap review. Just to close, and the department has said they are, however, deciding to take a route of total overhauling of the policy. And I think we, in doing that, we can be able to claim to close the necessary gaps. This becomes important because 90+ percent of our international trade exchange happens through our maritime. And this, we should have very utmost interest as South Africa into what needs to happen. And I think the department is in the right direction in making sure that we pursue that. I would therefore want to move for approval of the ratification of the Nairobi International Convention, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm supporting what the Honourable Member Ntere has just done now of moving for the ratification. And the other thing, I want to ask you, Mama, to thoroughly check on your presentation before you come to the committee, because what you have seen that happened, normally when these smaller parties are formulating their organization, they will take the constitution of the ANC. Oh, don't worry, yours is big. Then they will take the constitution of the ruling party and copy it. So sometimes you find that they did not even change all the way. It's what happened here. I think this request was mainly for the NA. Now that you are coming to the NCOP, they just copied where it was written NCOP, then they changed into, NA, they changed it to NCOP. That is why we cannot recommend the tabling of the report. It's what the chair raised. I think next time, if we can check thoroughly before you come to the committee, this cut and paste thing will be avoided.
We can't recommend it to the NA.
No. It's only the NA that can recommend you to come to us.
Okay. The point.
The newly formulated.
Is let's answer the three questions, mm-hmm. and then come back to the proposal by Honourable Ntebe to the session.
Thank you very much, Mr. on the question of the honorary member on enforcement, should the certification not be produced by the ship owner or operator? There is what state control, honorary member. What follows out of that process is a detention. As they say, by SAMHSA, as they say, they have been power. As they say, that has been produced certification as prescribed by IMO convention. The law is detention. They won't get detention. The scrap collected, really, when we talk about wreck, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is a scrap. They could be scrap, but like you say, there are items there that are still usable or that are not broken, that have owners. Those that are the ones you said they will be redirected to the owners or certificate to the state. But the scrap that is collected, really, there are other laws that kick in again. The environmental laws of this country under waste management. So now that takes another route. After we have taken it from sea, we have our own dumping site under those laws, of dumping laws of this country, and then that's where now the scrap metal are separated from all other stuff, and then they are recycled somewhere. So that's what's really happening on the ground. So the policy gets to, at least he has already clarified about. Thank you, Honor.
Thank you very much. Thanks again to you for your presentation. Let's make a decision. I'm going to present to you from our constitution the clause under chapter 14, clause number 231, 2. Clause number 231, 2 states, an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by a resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, unless it is an agreement referred to in subsection 3. And subsection 3 refers basically to agreements that are technical, administrative, and of an executive nature. So this is an agreement that is not under subsection 3. So it needs to be approved by both houses. Therefore, following on the proposal that was made by Honorable Ntebe, our secretary has helped us with a report that we will take from this committee to the NCOP if you so agree. And the report is not identical to you on the report. It is a report of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development on the Nairobi International Convention on the Removals of Wrecks 2007, dated 17th March 2015. There's something. We'll sort it out. This is this. Because it says here, dated 17th March 2015. One reason you think that the 2007 document is dated 17th. Or we'll say at each committee meeting on 17th of March 2015, something like that. Then it says, here comes the essence, honorable members. The Select Committee on Economic Development and Business Development, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Nairobi International Convention on the Removal of Wrecks 2007, refer to it in terms of section 231(2) of the Constitution, recommend that the House, so we make a recommendation to the House, recommends that the House approve the set convention, and the explanatory memorandum. May I ask whether there are any members that would have a difficulty with such a recommendation to the NCOP?
No.
Nobody.
What is the Natal agrees?
Thank you very much, colleagues. Thank you very much. That brings us to the conclusion of our business on this matter. We want to say to the colleagues, thank you very much. It is, as has been said by many of the members present here, a very important piece of legislation. I think two of the members reiterated the point on the importance of maritime protection for us in this time where we are trying to grow the trade of this country. Also, we recognize that the ATISA process is going to open dynamics for us, but we also recognize the initiative taken at other levels and by you in terms of the development of the Saldana project, but also the developments at the Kuha project. So it impacts on those provinces in the Northern Cape and in the Eastern Cape. We also know about the projects in Tesla M, where we are looking at oil exploration on that coast. I have heard from colleagues in the Northern Cape that they are interested in getting some oil development as well in the Northern Cape area. And said to them, I'm not sure that they will get it. But the point, however, is that the strategic significance of the Cape of Good Hope and its surrounding areas is increasing, and we would want to see this legislation, or rather the adoption of this convention, happening as soon as we possibly can. I think it is on our ATC for the NCOP, and now we will be able to process the thing back. Concluding, we would want you to negotiate with our Secretary that if there are any memoranda that has already been developed, that be shared with us. We would also want to request that if there is any amendments to the Act of 1961 or any new acts that are developed in this regard, that you hasten bring them to us through our sector. I think it is of strategic importance that we defend the coastal area as a very, or the maritime area as a very important asset to South Africa and develop the requisite legislation. You know better than what we know about how threatened we are. And we have seen the Norwegian suffering with the proper English word, but how some people have been stealing of their ocean resources.
Tofu.
Sorry, you're saying what is that?
Tofu.
Tofu. No, it's stronger than that. It's stronger than that. It's a crude word, so I wouldn't use it in the meeting, but it is a serious threat to the marine economy.
Okay.
If we want to build that, we just wanted to make give you the assurance that you can rely on our cooperation with the necessary legislation and for contact. Bring it to us. We're not saying you will adopt it, we're saying that we will look at it. Thank you very much again, Madam, and for your team. Can I ask for the helping me here on the statement that I read. We have to decide how do we recommend as a committee we deal with it in the House. Do we open it for debate, or do we present a statement for adoption?
Statement for adoption.
Uploaded the two smaller provinces.
Provinces for parties.
Because they're the smallest province.
Yeah, they don't have land. But you know,
the biggest province that
you know is
to our colleagues from the department,
you are welcome to sit with us. You are welcome to help yourself silently, because we've been eating here, you know, and I felt terrible, but we need to feed these humble bodies. We are just having to deal with two administrative issues, which is going to take us 5 minutes. But thank you very much. We can release them. But you see, my problem is when you go for a job interview and they say, no, you can go, we'll contact you. You get what I mean. Thank you, colleagues. Members, just the two issues that we thought we would deal with earlier. We have the minutes of two meetings, and the minutes have been distributed to us. I have had the opportunity to read through the minutes. The first minute is of the 25th of November, 2014, and the other one is of the 24th of February. I picked up, and we want to present them to you for adoption. I picked up no controversy in the meeting of the 25th of November. Matthias, I need the full attention of the members there. Can I hear if there is a proposal for the adoption of the minutes of the 25th of November? Timunia, you were there.
Yeah.
You were not there. Oh. No. Kaula wasn't there. Are you proposing the adoption of the minutes?
That's a process. Do we deal with them as voted they are, or do we take?
We take them one by one. I'm dealing with the one now of the 21st of November.
No, on that one I have no issues.
The 25th of November, we had a presentation that was made to us by the Department of Public Works, and it was their 2013-14 annual report. If you look at decisions, there were no decisions taken in that meeting. We just received the report.
Yeah, on that one I have no issues.
Thank you very much. So are you proposing?
Yeah. I'll second that.
Second that. Thank you very much. Okay. Then we have to deal with the one of 24th of February 2015. Let's allow you first, Honorable Ntebe, seeing that you said you had an issue with that one.
No. I'm okay.
Are you okay with that one as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Because you were not there. Honorable...
thank you, sir. I noticed that even if I'm present, I'm recorded as being upset.
You can't
Were you there on the 24th February?
Yeah, we're supposed to be.
Can we just amend the minute and
please,
add
please, no, cutting, please. I was there.
I remember. I remember. So add Honorable Kahula there.
Yeah, but how can Honorable Kahula attend the meeting and I'm not there?
He was studying. He is not a student. You are a student. Okay. So can we have a proposal or any other amendments? There's a one amendment. The absence of now that we've added your name, you can propose.
I was not there for the whole duration.
You were not there for the duration. Okay, this was a presentation that was done for us by Public Works again. I remember the very vibrant conversation we had on the extended public works program and job creation. There was a lot of emphasis on job creation on that. The decision was that the committee considered and adopted the committee program, our program, which is something that is going to change now. Again, is the second thing that I wanted to discuss with you. Can we get a proposal for the acceptance of the minutes of 24th February 2015? What's your issues? What's your issue with the meeting? You are at work.
I'll set this meeting.
Okay. You see, this is a problem when we wait so long. You move for the adoption. Honorable Dikhale was there. Can we have somebody that seconds Honorable Dikhale? Honorable Valda, you can speak on his behalf. Yes. Honourable members, is it that you have a problem with the minutes or am I reading the meeting wrong? Honourable Lond seconds that. Okay, and that is accepted. Thank you very much. Colleagues, this minute refers to the Taking Parliament to the People program and the dates in there has changed. The minute is correct, because that's the date that was given at that time. So I just think for the record it's going to be important that our secretary notes that we're taking Parliament to the people now from the 13th to the 17th of April. With that, on the program, colleagues, I have shared with Honorable, Suka that we're going to have a problem with our program. We have to do oversight, and we have to do our normal operations. We're running into the second term. If you look at the program from the programming committee, we don't have oversight in there yet. We will have to consult Honorable Suka and myself with our work very urgently so that we can look at least doing one local oversight during this time. And I'm looking at Eastern Cape, which was part of the oversight when we went to Limpopo the last time. I just wanted to share that with you so that you are aware of it. Tomorrow, colleagues, I will share with the other members that were not there some of the things that comes from the meeting of chairs and whips that we had last week. I won't raise it today for time. So, Honourable Lloyd?
Yeah, I support the visit to the Eastern Cape, and specifically because we just touched on the transport portfolio today, there's serious challenges with the integrated public transport in the Nelson Mandela Metropole. So I would really support it and also make a recommendation that we centre around for Nelson Mandela Metropole our visit for the oversight.
You've noted that? Honourable Lodge, just help me. How do we link that with our competencies? Because we do trade, industry, international relations.
Transport.
Oh, we do transport. Okay. So okay, you just are trans. Sorry, I'm signing, and you know I'm not a woman, so I don't. I'm not very efficient. I'm not efficient in this case. I can't do two things at the same time and do them. Thank you very much, honourable members. We'll see you in chamber at 2.
Thank you.
Over now.
Yeah.